Hello, my name is Cedric, and you're listening to The Awkward Podcast. And on this episode, we talk about your passion sometimes not being enough and everybody's favorite topic, sex.
I don't think I should say that. No, really, I don't think it's appropriate. Well, you've convinced me. Well, this is awkward. You're now listening to The Awkward Podcast, where we have honest and unfiltered conversations on all sorts of topics.
So this is completely unexpected. Like, absolutely nobody is expecting this. Like, I'm talking about nobody. Dorian's here again, as he was on every other episode.
Hey, guys.
Beforehand. But we have a special guest this time, like an actual special guest.
Truly.
A real special guest. We have Chris Lanise, artist and curator.
Hey, friends.
Hey. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you, guys. I'm happy to be here. It's so fancy.
No, you are showing out.
This is going to be like an episode for the books already.
I'm excited.
I feel it in my spirit.
Yeah.
Me too.
Every conversation I've ever had with you I've left away in my life has been changed. I think I tell
people
that you're
like... Can you use your line? She lit a fire in you.
You have, every time I'm with you, you light a fire inside of me.
You're saying a lot because we spent a lot of time together.
That cannot go down. And I've learned a lot. And I think you're going to teach a lot of people.
You're going to burn to a crisp from all those fires.
I think I'm going to glow. I think instead of burn, I'm glowing. Truly. No?
Stay away from me. Stay far away from me. You just told me electricity had a sound.
Y'all ain't never turned on nothing and heard it. Listen, y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy.
If you hear electricity around you, you need to call. Whoever, wherever you stay, you need to call the maintenance people and have them come fix it, because I'm pretty sure your house is going to burn down.
Truly.
You are not supposed to hear crackling electricity anywhere. Or a generator or something.
What was the sound you said it made?
It's like a...
So you're talking about the electricity from like a Disney movie.
It's not like fucking musical electricity. No, hear me out. Hear me out. Every morning, I'm like the first person at my job, and I go and turn the lights on inside of our center. And then when I turn the lights on, I literally hear that. It's not audible like that, but you hear the lights turn on. Or am I listening too hard? And I don't want to say I look forward to it, but I'm like, oh, I'm waking up the building.
Dorian, stop the meth is showing. Well, how are you doing, Chris?
Truly, how was your day?
My day was good. My day was really good. I can't complain. I checked out some really dope art in Atlanta. Mm. And then...
Any of them stood out to you, like, that you felt?
I really like Derek Phillips' exhibit at Emory Center Ethics and Art right now. He has some few dope pieces.
And that's here in Atlanta.
I checked out Spelman, and then I went to Mason Fine Art Gallery. They always just have really good art. It's really refreshing. It's free.
All of them are free.
Of course.
Oh, free exhibits. I will definitely be checking it out.
I'm going to start going on my lunch break.
That's what you should do. Bust through.
You have one more time.
What? Truly.
I'm going to lock you in. Can I put you in Facebook jail?
But can't you just imagine going on your lunch break? I'm going to a museum, get like a coffee, and then hit it back to work afterwards.
Can you imagine calling Facebook and putting you in jail? You need to actually go to actual jail. Some of the things... Why do you want to go to a museum? Why do you want to do that?
I think it'll be fun. I think it'll open my eyes and...
Throw your scarf around your neck.
Truly.
With your latte.
With my body coat, my pea coat.
Yeah.
That'd I'm going nice. To hire somebody to take pictures of you while you're doing that.
Please, so I can post them.
You knew it was a point in this. If you're not posting no pictures, you didn't do it.
It didn't happen.
Unless you're Chris.
No, it's truly Chris. So...
What?
Chris, you have a glow from the gods. Like, you look like a Greek goddess.
You got
every time I see you.
From your soul, it glows. It's like you
your energy, your skin, your personality, everything about you is such a glow. And this is just an honor to have you here. It really is.
I am honored. Honestly, you guys are making me blush.
No, truly.
Truly. I moisturize often, drink a lot of water. That's about
so
it.
So is that the secret that you have remained?
I think you should always drink a lot of water. I think you should moisturize. I think you should live stress-free. I'm a meat-free person, but I know people who eat meat who have beautiful skin too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's stress more than anything, and just really making sure that you drink water and sleep. Sleep is really important.
I think I fuck up with sleep.
All of the things you just listed off, I do the opposite of that, so I only can imagine. My sleep patterns are trash. I eat meat like a fucking... When I tell you I'm like a dinosaur, I will just fuck up some meat and... I'm a vampire. I don't know.
My sleep patterns are trash sometimes. So I'm not going to lie about that. My sleep patterns fucking suck.
What do you consider like trash? Because I feel like, what do you feel like is enough?
It's like, I think you're supposed to get like 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And I know that every night I don't do that shit.
I never do that. I think I get at the most 4 and a half.
Doesn't Chris look like she levitates when she sleeps? Does like she would just levitate.
I do sleep with my eyes open.
It's probably that... Oh, I do. You REM sleep, friend? Oh, that'd scare the hell out of me.
I don't know what that's called, but I do sleep with my eyes open. It's my some freaky shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my mouth be open too. So it be like a whole seance.
You be out.
I be like... I swear to God, like, everybody who's ever seen me sleep be like, yo, some different shit.
Has your husband ever... Oh. You've been married for a really long time. That is something to clap about.
And I think that's fascinating too, because you've been married since you were in your early 20s.
I was 22.
That's so young.
Wow.
I was super young. Yeah.
So how many years does that make it now?
We've been married 9 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like how I always wonder, because I know for me in my lifestyle, in the gay life, long relationships is not as common as it is in a heteronormative life, I guess, relationship, but it's still 9 years from so young to the age that you are now.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Of course, communication is what is on top of everybody's list, but what are those things to where most people don't think about that kind of kept you? Because I, granted, no one ever knows what goes on behind the closed doors, but I've been around the both of you, and y'all relationship is such a flower, and it's so beautiful. Like,
oh,
how do
friend,
you,
we get y'all are like cornish.
I don't to see two. I just have to say, like, to see two black people, like the type of love that y'all it's I don't know. When I see I'm like love, love, love. Wherever I can put love as a reaction to seeing you, because you were like, it. You know those beautiful black couples, like. I can't even find the words I'm looking for, but y'all are like the perfect match.
The blueprint.
The perfect match.
That's crazy because it's like Jarrell and I got together so spontaneously. We never dated. Like, we were both just in college, living our best lives, like just really living our best lives. Like, and Jarrell went to school in Tallahassee. I went to school in Daytona. But we were still kicking it. Like, we were going to see each other on weekends. We were like vibing, but we never dated. And then one weekend he was just like, let's get married. And he gave me this really dope ass reason.
Were you dating him?
No, we never dated. We just decided one weekend, like, bet we gonna get married. Wow. So I called my best friend. I called Jess. I was like, bitch. She was like, what's good? I was like, I think I might marry Jarrell. She was like,
oh my God.
Bitch, I'm here for it. She was like, do I need to drive up there? I was like, I'm going to call you. Like, I'm going to let you know. And It was just like, let's just go at our own pace, like, and do what we kind of want to do. And it's worked out. Like, it hasn't been super easy, but it's definitely been fucking fun. Like,
and worth it.
He's like your best friend for sure.
Oh, he's definitely my best friend. Like, yeah. Beyond my best friend. And I think, like, one thing that people have to realize, at least for me, is it is very important for two people to have their own journeys in life. Mm-hmm. And you're blessed to accompany someone on their journey, but you have to have your own journey too. And I think it's really dope for you to grow to love just a being, like, you know how you like just genuinely love somebody and you want to see them like just fucking shine. Like, you know, I'm just happy to fucking be here. Like, you know, like you really got to have that type of energy. And then it kind of makes everything else work. And then it's communication, really good sex. Like, you got to get fucked.
You got to make love and get fucked.
You got to do both, a little bit of in between, and the whole other choke spectrum. Me, like, you know, because it's like you don't want shit to get boring. You really need to be vulnerable. You need to be open. And if you, and I get why people aren't vulnerable. I get why people aren't open, because there's a lot of fucking bitch ass people out here. Like, there are people out here who are just cruel.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you have to really be in a place to where you're able to open your heart to that capacity.
Yeah.
And, and essentially, I give my whole life to you in a sense, but still I have my own life. But a lot of people don't know how to do the same.
It's a lot. And it's like, knowing how you're supposed to live your life, you have to understand too that sometimes you and people outgrow each other. And that's our hardest thing. It's like we can't grasp that, you know? And it's just, it's a blessing if you don't, if you can grow together. But in your own life journey, like sometimes you just outgrow people and people harbor onto stuff and end up really hating each other. And
when at the end of the day, it's really, we just outgrew each other.
We just outgrew each other. We just went in a different way. And I'm thankful that God has blessed me with somebody who so far we've been able to grow together. Cause we got married super young. We got married at 22. Like we were kids, like, and we've just figured it out along the way. And I know he's seen like maybe 6 different versions of myself. And I tell everybody, like, if you fuck with the girl who I am, you really fuck with him, because he really molded me like in a certain way, you know, and I know it's vice versa too. So
he's your life partner.
Yeah. He's definitely my life partner. If we divorce, I tell him all the time, like, I'm going to still throw you some ass and you're still going to pay my bills. And tell that new bitch I'm going to still be around. Like, hey, girl. And I might bring my little new piece and it might be whatever, but this is the arrangement for life. And this is just what it is. Like, you're my life partner. You're my best friend. So I'm blessed for that. Like, that's super fucking cool. It's to be married, but to not be like cheesy marriage. Because marriage is real cheesy.
Yeah, like especially the traditional.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, traditional. Like, this is the book you follow. This is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
you don't
want to
be Stan and Susie Smith.
It's just so. It's that's funny because my last name is Smith.
You're not a Stan and a Susie.
Yeah.
They eat pancakes every morning.
Yeah.
Chris and Ja.
Yeah.
That's nowhere near Stan and Susie.
I would change that shit though if we could think of something doper that we really like. Like, I have a kid. I want to change my last name. We're not going to give them those.
Oh, that'd be
Chris Astronomical.
And all the last like 8 letters being lowercase because it's a whisper.
And they better say my name properly every time
every
they say it.
Every fucking time.
I'm
going
to get pissed off.
I'm not answering.
So kind of going into when your relationship, what is the, how can I say it? How is it dating someone who's not necessarily, I don't want to call him not an artist because I've met him. He's a super smart guy. He's very analytical. He's into, you know, learning it in the capacity of that. But to date someone who is more so of a free spirit artist who thinks more creative versus by the books, if that right. makes sense. Mm-hmm. How do you guys make that work? Like,
cause definitely clashes sometime, you know, cause he's so analytical. I think sometimes being with somebody who's super analytical sees everything as like black and white, A and B, like you're not getting this result because you're not doing this, this, and this, like, you know? And so sometimes that is difficult, but I'm so appreciative because he keeps me on my shit to a totally different level. Like, this nigga keeps me on my toes. Like, and I
like he can chastise
like,
you.
Like, for
listen.
Real. Like, it's like, and that's the type of energy I need because
that's
think
a man, aggressive, yeah. masculine
that's
energy.
An, that is. And for me, I know some people are going to hear this and be like, oh, that poor girl. But it's like, for me, I need that shit because I think we can all attest to it. We all come from art backgrounds. Yeah. Like, being creative is natural to us.
Yeah.
So doing the minimum is good enough for everyone else.
Yes.
But pushing that motherfucking envelope, like really giving it a little and having someone keep you on that shit and hold you accountable because your natural creativity just isn't enough. It is like, and you know me, I am emotional.
Yes.
Yes.
But this, I think you do everything from your heart, literally.
It's like, and this man be checking the shit out of me. And it just be like, you think that's what Beyonce would do? And I'd be like, oh.
That, listen, if you throw Beyonce in, okay, you're right. Okay, you're what would Beyonce do?
I'm trash.
It's so funny. I realized what you said too. Good enough is never enough for any of us.
Yeah.
It's never enough.
It's like a perfectionist. And I know even from my standpoint of looking at the both of you guys, I've seen you actually curate a whole art show, even your own. I've seen you actually prepare, even with this podcast and just different endeavors that you've gone on.
This podcast has been stressing me out trying to get this quality together.
It is so fucking fancy.
Of course. Listen, anything
if you ever get to be in the number.
No, truly, if you ever get to the studio.
Oh, Windsor Saints, come on to me.
Said really invest, and I've seen you guys, and I think that you guys become so tunnel vision at something that sometimes you feel like you strive for that perfection. Do you feel like when it is not being achieved in the light that you want it to be achieved in?
I love that.
How does that affect you? Does it make you want to stop? Does it make you want to go harder? Because I know sometimes it makes you just want to give up sometimes, but how do you get beyond that and keep going? Like, or is it times where, you know what, I'm at that crossroad. I don't want to do this shit no more. Like, fuck it.
Yeah. Chris, you could take that one first.
I mean, honestly, any other time, and you guys can attest to my spirit, I'm that girl who's just going to keep going. And if I'm not getting what I want, I'm just going to go harder. But right now, I am in such a weird state of vulnerability when it comes to my passion and my drive, because I am having moments of doubt for the first time. And it's like, I'm not even that person. And I kind of feel like there's this thing that's called like fraud syndrome, where for some reason in your mind, you psych yourself out saying that you're not who you are. You know what I'm saying? Before you even do anything. Yeah, we do it all the time.
I've heard of it.
And so, you know, in my mind, I'm like kind of being a fraud, because here I am, you know, me and my friend and I, Mel, we're dropping these book reviews, and, you know, I'm dropping these gems about how your mind should be and how you have to push through it. And it's like, I'm a fraud. Like, I'm not even listening to myself right now. Yep. Like, you know, so people are like showing love, like, but where I am right now, like, I'm in a state of doubt. And I definitely think that it's something that I would push through. It's just a different feeling. I'm a girl who naturally wins, you know, and I just feel like if you give anything your all, you'll get what you want in return. And this is my first time giving something my all and not getting what I want.
But do you feel like who is the person that gauges what's considered all? Like, because sometimes you might feel like, well, I did X, Y, and Z. This should equal to this, to where you might have to
gauge it differently.
Start back from A and go all the way to Z.
And it's so crazy because Jarrell asked me this last night. He was like, what do you want? And I was like, you know, I've been saying I want a gallery. You know, what do you want? What else do you want? And it's like, I guess I haven't really even determined it. I just felt like if I had my head down and focused and just moving, that things would just keep falling in my lap and they'll just get bigger and bigger. You know, that's not how it's worked. You know, things have. I think I've just reached a plateau. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm supposed to excel past this. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I'm great. No tea, no shade. Like, not being like full of myself or nothing like that. I'm great because of, you know, what I know my purpose is. But I know I can be like exceptional, legendary. Like, at least I thought I could, or I think I can. It's just the first time I've doubted it a little bit. And it's scary because that's not me, you know?
And do you feel like that's because of the fact that you put those timely goals? Because I know you and I have had discussions in the past to where you said one thing that one concept that humans have kind of put into our psyche is time. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, time essentially, quote unquote, time doesn't stop for anyone. But what is really time is something that a person made, like humans made Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like when you think of passions and things like that, do you think that maybe you got to get beyond that and know that if I keep striving and keep doing what I'm doing and just organically doing and I see even small victories, then one day something great will happen. Because some people really go through small victories until randomly they get this massive, huge victory.
I just heard this interview where this guy was like, you think you get down 10 episodes, you're supposed to win at that point, and you continue to go, and it might be episode 90, 93, and somebody's like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with anything you put your creative vision into. You don't know when it's going to happen. It's just you can't give up on yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. And honestly, you know, it is, you go with this constant battle of your ego versus your soul. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both within you. They're both very divine powers. And it's my ego that thinks I deserve it now, because I feel like I've worked harder than people that I see around me. That's my ego. I know that that's my ego. But I am human and I have an ego. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, if I'm just living my true purpose, which is to influence and, you know, develop my culture, my people, my whoever I affect, you know, then it shouldn't really matter where I am in my journey, because this is what I'm going to wake up every morning and do. But my ego is like, damn, I'm tired. Like, damn, like I feel like
to have this already.
Damn, it's
by
like,
now.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, like, you are talking. No, truly. Talking to me is like talking to mirror right now.
Yeah,
because it's like you go into destruction mode sometimes. You'll want something so bad, and you're like, I believe in myself. But then when you're not where you want to be, you start destroying yourself, and that's mentally. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm so depressed. Why is this not working out for me? At least for me, that's where I get.
Yes.
And then you're like, I don't want to do it at all. Well, for me.
No,
you're like, I shouldn't stop though. But then it's like, you're battling yourself at that point.
Cause your inner demons. Said, you're you battle against your passions or the dreams that you have. And then once you're done battling against that, you start beating your own self up. And I think that's when it gets even worse, to where it then becomes more so of
a downward spiral.
A mental effect,
it's all
and then
mental.
Turns to mental illness in a sense, to where you start getting depressed, and then you don't really know what the concept of it is, but it's because of the fact that you are so focused on X, Y, and Z, but not really just going with the motions of it and knowing that it's just going to happen as it should happen.
It's just you becoming impatient.
Sometimes.
That's not all. Everybody doesn't get a success story, unfortunately.
But that's scary, but it's so real.
Oh, can I? So this is maybe the optimistic Sagittarius in me. Do you guys not believe? So I really believe that people, some people are handed better cards than others. Some people are born into wealth, and with money, honestly, at the end of the day, with money, you can do and be in whatever you want to be at that point. But I feel like with those same cards, you may not have been dealt those cards, but you just have to play the game a little differently. Do you feel like there are going to be some people, no matter how hard they work or how hard that they try, they will never?
Yes.
Never reach that level? Yeah, I definitely think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of people, actually, because you're grinding, but you're not doing strategical leveling up. And it might be something that you don't even have the opportunity to obtain that knowledge, that information.
Oh, because you're never going to be
and
in
sometimes
that position.
You just look up. Some people look up. You're in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. It can be a random stranger walking art gallery that you didn't decide to go to that day. And it's like, we want this person that just started yesterday to be on BET. And you're like,
right.
I've been doing this for 6 years. Yep. And that's just with anything. So I don't believe, I wish, and we all wish that you can ask, believe, receive like the secret and it just works out for you because you work so hard. But unfortunately not. Some people die without reaching their trying.
Yeah.
But you're never supposed to give up. And notice I put emphasis, you're never supposed to, but we do as humans.
You're not supposed to stop for any reason, but there's a lot of people who are aspiring rappers.
Oh, yes.
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, you got platforms like SoundCloud and
people who are going to go out and get it every day. Like, you know, and the work ethic, you have to admire that type of confidence, you know. But
to what level do you say, okay, now I maybe
I have an example
to
for you too.
And
you're really big on like fitness and stuff. So we've watched 600 Pound Life. Mm-hmm. You see those people that have these dreams on being these fitness models after they're done. Like, I'm going to lose this weight. Even though I was 900 pounds, I'm going to get down to 125. I'm going to be finer than everybody. They turn, congratulations, you know, hats off, you lost weight, but they turn to essentially a bag of skin eventually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you look better, but people are still side. This is, we're being honest. People still side on like, dang, you got a lot of skin hanging everywhere. So they still don't hit that goal. So even though they want that, it just didn't work out. Mm.
It's very difficult being realistic, but remaining optimistic and believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Because the pursuit of happiness is real. You know, the mind is crazy. The mind is crazy. It's like, I think one thing that we're taught at such a young age is fear of failure.
Yes.
And it fucks us over. Because Sarah Blakely, she's the lady who like owns Spanx and her husband owns the Atlanta Hawks. But she talks about how like every day as a kid at the dinner table, her daddy would be like, what did you fail at today? He wanted them to go out their way and fail at something. So that way you're never afraid of rejection. You're never afraid of failure. And she just became, and that's how you become this multi-million dollar woman entrepreneur and have Oprah cover Spanx and have that shit everywhere at 22 years old. Like, because you never had an idea of fear or failure, but it's just like,
because people give up because the fear of failure.
So many key points in what she just said too. The confidence too.
The confidence.
Yeah.
You're not afraid.
She can walk up and, well, I at that point, being told no and being prepared for failure, you can walk up anywhere. You'd be like, oh, there go a celebrity walking them all. I'm going to walk up to him and tell him my Spanx.
Yeah.
A lot of people mentally say, I can't do that. That's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
I bet she would be like, that's not embarrassing. This is my passion.
She say when no, she going to say no.
When she did her pitch to Dillard's and she was trying to explain and she was like, it's women's undergarments, but da 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 da. And they were just like, there's plenty of women's undergarments. Like women's undergarments been around forever. She was like, Come to the back with me, the women, and I'm going to take off my pants and show you how this works. And that's what she was willing to do. And when those women saw how it worked, oh, we're going to put you in our stores. And then she was also so smart because the first day that Spanx were in the first three Dillard's, her and her friends and her family went and bought all the Spanx the first day.
Oh, to get that idea that they just was sold out and I have to have them
because
they
got sold out. This is a hot product.
Yeah.
That is genius. That is so genius.
So then Dillard sends in an order and like, we need 10,000, whatever. And she was like, at the time, she couldn't even make that many Spanx. But she was like, oh, okay, I got you. I need this up front. And I was just like, wow. To just not be scared, like to be willing to get naked on it. Like, I'll take off my clothes to show you how my thing works. Like,
have we noticed that, well, the pattern that every person that we know that's super successful has a story like that. Yeah. Like, I heard Tyler Perry
fearless.
Was sleeping on like a bench. Taraji Henson just drove to California like
with $75.
Yeah, it's like these, I thought it was $5. It's probably 75. That sounds more realistic.
I hope it was 75.
I pray she
But they all have these stories where they just push through what my mind mentally be like, that's embarrassing. They push through that. Like, I don't care. This is what I want. I'm going to get this by all means necessary. Nobody's going to stop me.
It's so inspiring, but it's scary.
It is scary. Because I know I'm fucking scared of everything. Even as simple as posting a picture on the internet.
Yes.
I don't want to show too much. I don't want to do too much. Oh, they're going to pick on this. If I post this picture, I'm going to get judged. And I feel like because of the fact that I'm subconsciously a perfectionist and people always, it's a blessing and a curse in itself. But I think when it comes down to this, the curse comes of it is because I'm a perfectionist, but because I'm a perfectionist, there are things that I hold back or that I don't present because I'm scared that someone is not going to see that perfect.
75% of you.
Yeah.
To everybody else that doesn't know you. 75% is what you hold back.
Yeah. Oh, that's real.
I tell people you're funny all the time and they can't see that because they can't imagine you telling a joke. It's
hilarious.
And I'm like, he's truly the funniest person I know.
And I feel like it's because I have this, my guard is always up when I'm around people that I don't really know or I don't really feel comfortable with. And I don't even think about putting that guard up, but immediately I feel like it's like a swipe down my whole body as soon as I'm in front of people who I'm not close with, who I don't feel safe with. So I have to really come off as this kin person, like essentially, like I really, I walk away, I tuck away, I stand away, all because I don't want people to judge me. And it's stressing. Mm. That's why I really love moments to where I can really just come here and essentially put my hair down, because that never happens. And I hate to say that. Ever.
That's stressful. Yeah.
And I think that it even trickled down into my brand, the Yes I Am Kim brand that I had now. Right now, I am in the process of rebranding. And even in that process, because of my own personal fears, I feel like a lot of it has been delayed. Now, granted, I've started a new job that is really a passion job and I really love it. And I've put a lot of, you know, focus on that. But God has put me now even in a better position to where I can fund my business and really push for it. Mm-hmm. So why am I sitting on my ass? And I think it comes down to the simple fact of, I don't want no ugly shit to be pushed out. I don't want to be judged. Who is he? Who do he think he is putting out clothes? All he doing is just putting his logo on it and things like that, that I think about. But when you really look at the people who are successful, they go find a provider and they go slap their logo on it. And yes, they might be 10,000 other lash brands out, but you know what? I'm going to market this different. I'm going to put it in something else.
When I tell you marketing is a word,
yeah, it's a huge
marketing is a word.
The word.
But they do, they're fearless, so they can, they're successful because they're fearless. And I think that's what a lot of people are. But it's so hard when you have people in the world that are so judgmental.
Mm. It's the people that have done this to, well, majority of people that have done this to us.
Yeah, I totally agree. People are cruel and they feel more comfortable with being more cruel because of the internet. It's so much easier to be
a bully.
Yeah.
A troll.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and you know, it's going to get you attention. Yeah. It's immediate gratification for yourself because people are like, oh, he went at so-and-so or, you know, and it's just, you wouldn't say that to my face.
You got somebody 6,000 miles away tweeting you, talking shit.
And a Finsta account.
Right.
People are so drawn to negativity and wanting bad stuff to happen. Because you can see it, like, for, this is just a completely made up example. Let's say you were at the store and they're like, nobody's looking at your clothes. Then somebody burns down that store and it's on social media. It's going to go viral. Yeah. They're like, can you believe all his clothes got burned down? And it's like, why did this work out? Why did you find out about him? Because some bad shit happened.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's just, that's a disease of the nation.
People
actually
love scandal. People love drama. They do. Like,
they do.
Like reality television.
Yeah.
Had a lot to do with this too.
Oh, I think reality television has really fucked us up. That's
the
why.
The most toxic shit that's ever happened.
It always has to be something scandalous. People were talking shit about Photograph. They said they thought it was too boring. I was like, that's a beautiful love story.
Oh my gosh. Yes, beautiful. What did they need? I guess they wanted some crazy baby mama.
Issa Rae said, I'm creating a black love story that's just a regular, why can't we have a love story?
I love Issa Rae.
Me too.
Yeah, and she's so beautiful. She just looks the nice. Photograph.
Like, you ever look at somebody, you can like, she just, I'll walk up and hug you.
She real black.
We can hang out.
Yeah. She black as fuck and I love
feel like we
too.
Can see her somewhere and be like, oh, it's Issa. And I feel like she'll acknowledge that we're there.
Because we're cool snooty. Too.
Yeah. Cool people hang out with cool
now,
people.
Now hold up, Issa.
You can come over here, girl.
So my question was, like, I recently seen something online because I know artists are so visual and a lot of them are inspired by sex. And I don't want to stereotype anybody, but do you think that's like a large part of your creative process as well?
Definitely. I think all artists are inspired by sex. I think for one, a lot of art is sexual orientation. You know, when you're learning figure drawing and stuff, you're literally looking at naked bodies for hours and just looking how the body really looks. And then you grow to appreciate it. But I think all artists need to be stimulated. I know, like, for me, being a visual artist, being such a visual person, it's like, I have to be, what does friend say? I need my to light a fire.
You need somebody to light a fire in you.
You need something to light a fire in you.
I needed to light a fire in me and my vagina and my soul.
But like, how do you make that happen being a married woman? Like, is that difficult? Is that something? Because I
luckily sex has always been like our go-to. Like, we were slides before we were anything else. So,
okay, I can fuck with that.
You know, I've been fucking you for a while, so that's good. You know.
You know me.
You know me?
Yeah.
I think I like to be controlled. I like to be handled, you know.
Even though you're saying this really artsy, we get what you're saying.
No,
it sounds fancy,
ass.
But it's still the same thing.
Dead ass, like 100%. Like, I have to be like, it's something about that that has this like, I don't know. It's like sometimes when you be painting and you get into like a really, really good vibe, it is very orgasmic. Like, you're just in all of yourself and it just feels good. It's like your hands tingle, your mind is tingling, your eyes are tingling. You just love that shit. And it's just like getting fucked, like really, really well. Like,
but I mean, you guys been together for what you said, 9 years. How do you keep it like
fun,
hot and different? And like, cause you know, the same pussy or the same dick all the time might, I mean, maybe that's just me. Cause
sometimes I think you should add in a little bit of fun.
Ooh. Keep the fire there.
Keep the fire. So you're cool with adding in.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I'm not going to say you should. Let me not tell you what to do with your life. If you're 100% comfortable and you want to have a good time, and I think you want to grow sexually with your partner and you're okay with it.
Okay.
I think you should bring somebody else in. And
really?
I think so. I think if you're okay with it, like,
what about to the extremes of individual? Like, can they,
if they want to step out by that slide?
Do you want to know if they can? Like,
I need to know. Okay. I need to know some shit because I can't, like, nigga, what if you burn me or something? Like,
right. Okay.
Jesus, we might have to end this. You're disrespectful. No, like, I think it's just a certain level of trust. Like, I think, like, if you know what type of sexual being you're with, and sometimes if they need to have fun, like, you should both be able to have fun together. I'm a different type of person. Like, we could bring a bitch in, but we can never bring another dude in. Like, period. I can't.
That's weird. That's when it gets weird.
That's not my baby.
No, listen. Listen.
No shade to the girls who can. Like, you know, but that's not my thing. But yeah, definitely.
Because essentially that means that you,
I get why the girl's okay, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think girls are fun.
You don't feel like in that space, because I'm just making an assumption, you've probably been in that space before.
Yeah.
You won't get jealous?
I like to see... We're about to have a good time.
I'm here for it. Let's make it awkward.
I like to see my,
it's so
have
funny
a
how
good
you're
time.
Smiling.
I do. I like
you
to
like
see,
to see him have like the like whole see,
I like it
head fucking it's, the whole nine. I just particularly.
I if you can't hear in her voice what she's saying and feel it, you're stupid.
No, truly.
And you don't need to listen to this.
So
turn it
passion.
Off. Because I can feel what you're saying.
I just feel it.
I mean, I don't want to make this intense for you guys. Like,
I love the intensity.
I think in certain moments, like, if you're vulnerable with somebody, like, definitely live in it. Like, do the things that you don't even want to do. Like, live in that fucking moment. Let that nigga slap you in the face one good time. Like, do some fun ass shit, and you can decide if you don't like things, if things make you uncomfortable. But you have to be comfortable. Like, you have to be trust. Like, you have to know what it is. Like, you have to know whatever y'all's understanding is. Like,
in both parties, like, the moment that you 100%. Get secretive is when it becomes
that's what you're always playing this dangerous game, they say. You know, like, you're always playing a dangerous game. But for the bedroom aspect of it.
So I just completely lost my thought. You are so close with your husband. I can picture you falling back from a building and he's like, I'm going to catch you.
Oh, fuck no. I don't trust nobody that much.
You don't? Oh,
whoa.
What the fuck? A building?
That's a tall order.
Hey, you were supposed to be standing at a 92 degree angle and now she just went splat.
No.
But if y'all have that
coming, I don't trust nobody that fucking much.
I tell you, Chris, all up and down Main Street.
All up and through that.
She was waiting for her husband to catch her.
She trusted her husband and he's going to catch her.
Where was that nigga at? Now,
so basically, friend, if we ever see you doing that, you need to go to a psych ward.
You need to call somebody because that's a Chris Lanise clone. Like,
that ain't me.
That's not your girl. I do. I trust my guy. Like I trust Jarrell just because we're growing together. And I think we're life partners. Mm-hmm. I think we're like best friends more than anything else. And I do think if that time comes, if we're growing apart, we can be honest with each other. But you know, I ain't no damn fool. Like, you know, but if it's in the bedroom, y'all, let things happen in the bedroom, happen in the bedroom.
If it can happen. Cause I feel like for me, I feel like and I've said it in a past episode, I typically refrain from having sexual intercourse with people because that is a way that I show that I love them. Now there has been times where I had sex with somebody I didn't love, but, yeah. I feel like me having sex is really, really intimate for me.
Sex is intimate.
Oh my goodness. This is deja vu. Oh,
why?
This is deja vu. I'd seen this already. And I was like, why would I be having a conversation with Chris about this type of stuff?
You don't want to talk about sex.
No, this is just deja vu.
Oh, that's crazy.
It just hit me. I was like, I remember this happening. And then something good happened.
Oh, well, let's keep it going, Chris. Mama needed a new pair of shoes.
But no, because I really strongly feel like it. That's why I refrain from sex, because
I think sex is powerful. I think sex is intimate. It's a lot of passion.
You become one person essentially.
Yeah, it's a lot of passion.
Touch my body.
Right. It's a lot. But you can have a lot of passion within one moment too.
Okay.
You know, like you can understand what that is. Like.
But I think you have to be evolved enough for that.
You got to be evolved, and you have to have a clear line of communication. But I tell you this much, there's a lot of people out here that's not having great sex, and we're too old.
Susie and now her husband is now Carmichael. They're the people that are not having good sex.
Yeah, like there's way too many people out here who's having very mediocre sex. And it's like...
And it shows.
It shows because we're stressed.
If you don't let somebody love up on their body,
come on, or
destroy that. However,
open
you
your
want
mouth.
It.
Open so your do mouth.
You, so you feel like you can't love up on yourself? Like loving up on yourself in that manner is not strong enough.
No.
You
need. No.
Okay. What? No. Hell masturbation? No. What are we talking about?
Masturbation.
Oh yeah.
That's not enough.
No. What the hell?
What about oral? But or you have to have penetration.
It's connection with another person.
Okay. So y'all can hunch and kiss and.
Because I don't know. I think masturbation is more intimate than oral.
Wait. I mean, as a
for
girl,
a woman.
I think from a woman in general, because you are literally inside of them at mostly all times.
Right? What makes you think that that's how woman masturbation is?
A woman's masturbation is like opening a flower.
How do women masturbate?
I mean, most of the time, most women probably just play with their clitoris, which...
You really didn't know that?
But that's inside,
they
right?
And
your clitoris is inside
clitoris.
Of your vagina, right?
It's like at the top. It's
oh,
like,
so you don't even got to dig, like be inside of it.
Oh, listen. Ain't no digging, listen. Let me repeat something I said like 30 minutes ago. Dorian is the funniest person I've ever met in my life. He hears electricity. He doesn't know anything about a vagina. He's funny. Funny guy. Take it how you want.
Truly.
Can you tell us what you thought before? I just have to know for my own self. How did you picture it before?
From the things that I see online, it seems as though they like open it and then the clitoris comes out.
If she would have said the clitoris in the stomach, I bet you'd be like, oh, damn, it crawled that far.
Can I tell you guys something for the long? So this is how sheltered I was as a child. For the longest, and this is, y'all might judge me, but for the longest, I thought that babies came out of women's thighs. Because I've...
Why the thigh?
I don't know. I guess I didn't put into the equation.
If you've seen somebody whose thighs were that big, they had elephantitis, and you should not have looked at them.
But I don't think I thought too far and deep into it. I just knew it came from their stomach, and it came out somewhere.
It makes
the only
sense
logical
why you
thing,
don't know why.
Can I admit something,
is?
Too?
What?
Come on.
This is the
it.
Only stupid thing I thought as a child. I did not know that women could, number two, our fart.
I'm serious.
I really didn't know that women did that. I thought that that's just only a man thing because shitting is nasty. And it's just so masculine. Sitting on a toilet, like, it just stank. It just give me man.
Yeah.
It's just attached to a man. And when I watch movies, like, what's that movie? Vim Rhymes, like he's sitting on the toilet, like smoking a cigarette. Or Samuel L. Jackson. I picture something like that smoking. So I'm like, women can't do that thing. And then the first time I had the first time I heard a woman fart.
It wore you out.
I was pissed off. You remember that building that Chris was going to fall back on? I was going to throw that woman off that building. You fucking confused.
You're not a woman.
No. You are something else.
Yep.
Like that's so ugh. Like you're a woman with nuts. You're farting. A woman that farts in public has nuts. Like a big ball sack of nuts.
But women fart more than men. We pussy fart and we
I know fart. That though, queef.
Yes.
Yeah. But I just didn't think they're
like the way you say it. It sounds like Stewie says queef.
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 I just didn't think they were just actual farting.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the girls' rest, like again, the girls' rest was all closed up. It's just a bunch of women in there farting though.
Definitely.
We've had a great conversation. We can definitely wrap it up. Chris, you can tell them where to find you. Tell them about your art.
You can definitely find me at chrislenise.com, at Chris Lenise on all social media. For my business where I'm a curator, you can find us at Artpocalypse Atlanta. And just be on the lookout. We have more shows coming and just a pretty bomb year. So I'm so excited. I got to be a guest.
I always say this. Just for everybody that's listening, could you spell out Chris Lenise? Because I know I can't spell it.
Oh, yeah. So it's CRISLANIESE. Just put in like the CRIS and the L and I'm a pop-up. Yeah. Trust me.
Period. So, hey, I know you guys probably know, and I may have even said this joke last episode. You probably know my information by heart now.
Social included.
So, no, truly social included, but it's Dorian Noel on all platforms. It's Dorian with an O, not an A, on all platforms. And it is, my brand is also Yes, I Am Ken. And also before I give it away really quick again, thank you, Chris, for being a part of this episode. It was such a great conversation, and you are so full of gems and information.
Thank you, guys.
No, really, thank you, Chris. This has been such a learning experience with those gems. I feel like I grew as a person talking to you today, and I've just heard so many different perspectives that I didn't have before, and you have enlightened me. So thank you for that. And this is the part where I always ask people, please subscribe and leave a review and like... give us 5 stars. If you feel like you're, let me tell you something. If you feel like you don't give anything less than 5 stars, don't leave no review. I'm not talking to you, bitch.
Preaching good.
I'm not talking to you, bitch. But if you are going to leave 5 stars, you know you beautiful, so leave that review.
Thank you for listening to Awkward. Please remember to subscribe for future episodes and follow us on Instagram at Awkward Tea Podcast. If you have any questions you'd like answered on a future episode or want to potentially be a future guest, shoot us a DM. And until our next awkward encounter,